This is John Gramstrand, and I'm a certified energy specialist for CHS Ag Services in Stephen, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Whitney Pittman along with Randy Conan and Tyler Donaldson. North Dakota Senator John Hoeven introduced the Farmer Act, which would increase premium support for higher levels of crop insurance coverage. Environmental Working Group Midwest Director Ann Schekinger said this proposal would make a costly program even more expensive.
So increasing the subsidies at these higher crop insurance coverage levels would very likely increase the cost of the program. And the CBO, we just saw today that the CBO rated the changes under this new bill, the cost around $4.2 billion. So it's going to cost potentially $4 billion if the bill is included in the farm bill this year. And it's also remains to be seen where that money would come from.
EWG wants to protect farm bill funding for conservation and climate smart agriculture programs.
You know, the crop insurance program, only about 20% of farms nationally actually participate in the program, according to the Congressional Research Service, whereas the conservation programs like the Environmental Quality Incentives Program and the Conservation Stewardship Program are eligible, are open to all farmers. So we really think it makes the most sense for the climate and the environment and even farmers to keep this money from the Inflation Reduction Act in the conservation programs instead of spending that money on increasing subsidies through the crop insurance program or other farm subsidy programs.
Speaking before the U.S. Senate, Arkansas Senator John Bozeman laid out a bleak scenario facing today's farmers.
Here's the reality. Producers are experiencing unprecedented challenges, regulatory uncertainty, and historic volatility in the farm economy, all of which are projected to even get worse. A producer from Minnesota told me recently that record high input costs coupled with declining crop prices would mean that she would have to harvest a record yield just to break even. That's not a scenario farm families want to pass on to the next generation. And with an outdated farm safety net described by a Texas farmer as 2 inches above the concrete, agriculture is left wondering what level of crisis is necessary to compel Washington to act.
Bozeman lauded North Dakota Senator John Hoeven's effort to address crop insurance concerns with the introduction of the Farmer Act.
The Farmer Act includes critical components to modernizing the farm safety net for producers across all regions and all commodities. Producers in every state could reap the benefits of more affordable crop insurance options. The strength of this approach is underscored by the endorsement of over 20 grassroots organizations representing the voices of farm families from across the country.
Speaking at a Plant-Based Products Council event in Omaha, American Farm Bureau Federation Vice President of Public Policy Sam Kiefer said the House Agriculture Committee is ready to act on the Farm Bill soon. Kiefer believes it will be more difficult for Congress to act once the presidential election season cranks up. To pass the Farm Bill, the Farm Bureau lobbyist said bipartisan support is a must.
USDA's National Ag Statistics Service, or NAS, decision to cancel its July cattle inventory report and all county estimates for crops and livestock beginning with the 2024 crop year will have more of an impact on the livestock markets. NAU Country Vice President of Farm Services Rich Morrison says crop insurance no longer uses the NAS data.
The grain markets and such probably won't have a lot of impact because we no longer use that data for crop insurance anymore. And about 3 years ago, the crop insurance industry moved to using its own data, which farmers turn in from their production history. And so we no longer use the NAS data. We look at it when it comes out in February, and we kind of go, oh, okay. And we kind of do some what-ifs, maybe, as far as with some of the county insurance policies. But we really don't end up using that data anyway.
Morrison says county rates are set by risk management agency data.
And those are based on the actual numbers that producers turn in. And so the deadline for production reporting is April 29th, or give or take a day, depending on how the calendar lays. So after those numbers get reported, They get compiled by the RMA, and it's usually the middle of June when RMA puts out the final county numbers. And those are used for insurance policies like margin protection insurance or supplemental coverage, which is SCO, or ECO, which is enhanced coverage. Those county policies, we use that actual data that's turned in by the producer.
NDSU Extension livestock economist Tim Petrie says losing the USDA July cattle report complicates making predictions during a transition period in the market.
The more information you have, the better when we're trying to predict prices and so on. After all, the hogs and pigs report comes out quarterly for the hog industry, and we have it twice a year, and now we'll be down to once a year, so it'll be really devastating. You know, when we're in transition, cyclical transition like we are now, expecting herd rebuilding to begin, but we just don't know how that's going. Now, again, have to wait a whole year to see what's happening there would be really difficult for us that are involved day-to-day in trying to predict prices and see what's going on in the industry.
Other factors also adding to uncertainty in the industry.
When we're experiencing drought, it's really nice to have the July report as an update of what's happening. Again, the July report is only a U.S. report, so it's less costly compared to the January report, where it's state by state and even gets county by county. So we get a good indication, for instance, of heifers that might have been kept or not. Another thing is the July report is always the first estimate of the calf crop, so that would be the first estimate of the 2024 calf crop, which if they don't do it now, we won't know until January of 2025 what the 2024 calf crop is.
Pending final approval by the courts, Hormel Foods will pay $2.4 million to settle a price-fixing lawsuit. Major packers were accused of conspiring together to manage supply and control prices. The settlement states this deal is not an admission of wrongdoing. Settlements were made previously with JBS and Tyson. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Despite average crop yields, and Minnesota farmers had a rough 2023, thanks in large part to rising costs and reduced inventory values. Northland Community and Technical College farm business management instructor Betsy Jensen isn't sure how sustainable these rising costs are going to be going forward.
One of the things I looked at, I was looking at wheat numbers. I'm a wheat person, right? So I went back to 2014 to 2023, so 10 years of history. Repairs have almost doubled. Land rent has almost doubled. Fertilizer has almost doubled. And then everything else, you just increase significantly. So in 2014, our average cost for wheat was $331. Last year it was $550. I don't remember the exact number. I mean, a significant jump in expenses per acre. And I'm not sure how we're going to sustain that.
With such tight margins, Jensen says that every penny matters.
And some of that, you know, guys are experimenting with new products. They're trying new things. I'm not sure if we have the capacity to experiment anymore. We really are on tight margins. And I know cutting back, for example, on fertilizer or not putting down a pre-plant herbicide, that can cost you in the long run. But we really need to look at, are there things we can postpone, maybe back off a little bit? Every penny matters this year. The 2023 profitability was not great. The 2024 cash flows, unfortunately, are even worse.
U.S. Department of Labor's Consumer Price Index rose 3.5% in March, up from 3.2% in February. Core prices were up 3.8%. That's slightly higher than pre-report estimates of 3% and well above the Federal Reserve's target of 2%. The larger-than-expected increase will put more focus on the outcome of the Federal Reserve's April meeting and what it means for interest rates.
The University of Missouri released its 2024 Farm Income Outlook. Extension agricultural economist Dr. Scott Brown says while income is expected to be lower, it is not dire.
You know, we're coming off of record high prices. So although in the case of Missouri, we're talking about an 18% decline in farm income in 2024 relative to 23, 2023 was a good year on in terms of farm income, so we're just going back to maybe levels that fall off of those record highs. Expenses continue to stay high. We're seeing the receipt side, especially on the crop side, go lower, which is really creating what's this lower farm income outlook.
Brown expects lower income for 2024 across the Midwest.
Not surprising we're coming off of them. This idea of more of a price cost squeeze occurring as we look ahead, lower prices for our commodities, costs that stay high. We could talk about interest costs that stay high. We have seen some of these production costs coming down, but that squeeze is really what we see. I'm not sure that we're suggesting we're just in a going to be in a catastrophic situation going forward, but again, coming off of those record highs.
Winter wheat in Kansas is working its way out of dormancy, but things are off to a rough start, according to Kansas Wheat Commission Vice President of Research and Operations, Aaron Harries.
We're pretty far ahead of schedule as far as spring greening up is concerned, especially in the southern, I would say, southern one-third to one-half of the state because of abnormally warm weather we've had. The wheat crop, while it certainly looks better than it has in the last few years when we were devastated by drought, is starting to go downhill, unfortunately, because of the lack of moisture. Drought is expanding once again in Kansas. We haven't had any notable moisture this month. And unfortunately, the forecast for the rest of the month doesn't show any really appreciable moisture in the next couple of weeks, which is bad news.
High winds are not helping.
We had a severe wind event last weekend across most of the state with winds anywhere from 50 to 70 miles an hour blowing dust. We're scheduled for wind again this weekend with temperatures maybe approaching 90 degrees and still no rainfall in sight. So while things are green and, you know, I would say looking fairly average right now, the prognosis for the next few weeks is not very good.
The weekly report from the Energy Information Administration showing ethanol production during the week ending April 5th at 1.05 million barrels per day. That's down 17,000 barrels per day from the previous week. Ethanol stocks reported at 26.2 million barrels. That's 200,000 barrels less than the previous week. This is the Red River Farm Network.
South Dakota State University Extension Risk and Business Management Specialist Matthew Dearson says with volatility in the cattle futures, there is still an opportunity for producers to protect margins looking ahead.
With these prices fluctuating, that's carrying over. You've got more volatility in this market too, so some of the cost to lay off the risk has gone up compared to where it's been. You're kind of moving into that time of year where the cow-calf side of things is probably looking ahead to what are prices going to be like this fall, or do we want to do some protection sooner rather than later? And those costs have gone up a little bit, but there's good tools out there to mitigate that.
It's important to also watch corn markets.
Corn market is always going to be an influence here, as the acres number that came out was at the very low end of expectations. It's not really a cause of concern, but I mean, it does say that the market's responding, and that's going to be supportive or has been supportive of corn prices, which is on the flip side, that's negative news for the cow-calf side of things.
Quick look at markets before we leave you. Minneapolis May wheat, a penny and a half higher at 652 and three quarters. September, 3 cents higher at 669. Chicago wheat unchanged at 557 and three quarters. Kansas City, 15 and a quarter higher at 592 and a half. May corn futures, 2.5 cents higher at 433. And July, 2.75 cents higher at 445 and a quarter. December corn, a penny and three quarters higher at 470. Soybeans, May futures down 8 cents at 1166 and a half. November soybeans, 8 cents lower as well at 1170 and a quarter. Live cattle, April futures down $1.85 at 178.85. June live cattle down 215 at 172.70. August live cattle, $2.17 lower at $170.37. Feeder cattle, April futures, $3.05 lower at $237.65. And May feeder cattle, $3.72 lower at $235.72. August feeder cattle, $3.12 lower at $246.97. Lean hogs, April, 90 cents higher at $91.50. May lean hogs, $2.32 lower at $96.45. This is the Red River Farm Network.